Well, good morning, Harvest family. I want to trust everyone is doing well this morning, and Merry Christmas. So glad you're here. Good to have some folks that's traveled in from out of town. I thought the Cena's family is here, and others are here. We're so glad that you're here. Glad you had a safe trip, and trust that you all behaved yourself, and you all get something other than a box of rocks or coal in your stockings tomorrow. So I've got that. Before we get started, I just want to read one thank you card, and then we'll have a word of prayer, start our services today. But again, this is from me and Miss Michelle. Dear Harvest family, thank you for the cards, gifts, and gift cards during this Christmas season. We are so blessed to be part of our wonderful, loving church family. And we mean that with all of our heart. It's been such a joy this year. It's hard to believe. It seems like I just blinked, and it's 2023. I think the first time we were here visiting was in November, December, and started the candidating process in December. It's hard to believe it's gone by so fast. I hope it's gone that way fast for you. That means you're having fun. Amen? Amen. Well, good. So let's look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask God's blessings upon our service. Brother Sam will come. And we're, the choir going to open us this morning, or are we going to sing first? The choir's going to open us. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our service that he'd have his way. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Father, thank you for the joy of this Christmas season, Lord, where families can come together and share not only time, but love and gifts and other things as we spend time together. But Father, help us also remember the greatest gift that anyone could receive is the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Thank you for the wonderful gift of the birth of our Savior. May our services today, as we work on our hearts today, to lift our hearts, our voices, and minds in tune with you. And Father, may we celebrate this wonderful day of happy birthday, Jesus. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Please stand. Open your hymnals number 137. 137 if you're using the hymnal. Otherwise, words are on the screen. 137, Joy to the World. Dismissed to Children's Church this time, and we're going to sing number 138, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Oh, and last verse. I'd like to invite you to stand. Please stand, and I'd like to invite the men forward on the chorus for prayer.
If you would just join me in prayer, we'll ask God's blessings upon our church family's men as well as our service today. Let's pray. Father, as we come before thy throne this morning, I want to praise you and thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we have to serve you. Father, thank you for the opportunity, though many things are changing in our world. And our world is, America, our country is coming to a close of 2023. But Father, we still have the privilege of prayer. We still have the privilege of assembly. We still have many privileges, Father. And please help us to not take those things for granted or to take them lightly. Father, thank you for these men that are around here at the altar and those across our auditorium that you have blessed them. Help them to be the leaders of the home. Help them to be the leaders in your community and where they live and where they shop. Father, put a hedge about them. Protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress. Help them, Father, and protect them also from hurting others that their heart would be so sensitive that they would desire to make it right as soon as they realize it. Father, help them to be the men, starting with me, that you would have us to be in serving our families, serving our church family, serving our community, and most of all, Father, serving you while we do those things. Father, bless our children, our mothers and grandmothers and family members are here today. Bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. Father, help us all today to put away the cares and concerns of the world today that we might tune in here to the reading of your word, the special music and the preaching to come. Father, that we might give you our undivided attention. And Father, would you speak to the hearts of those who are here today? There may be someone here that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who may be discouraged, Father, may be slipping away and not serving the capacity that they have in the past or that they know that they should, that you'd work in their hearts today and help them understand it's never too late to get back in the game. Father, bless now. Have your will and way in our services. May you be uplifted and glorified, for we ask these things in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have your Bibles this morning in Luke chapter 2. We'll read this passage of scripture once again. We've looked at the heavenly host delivered a message, the happy shepherds delivered a message, and this morning we'll look at the hardened innkeeper delivered a message. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went also up and from Galilee into the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So was it, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And he brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in this day the city of David, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad and saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered and those things which were found in them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Said our goodbyes as the Father called me away. The angels came to greet me, and they carried me through heaven's gates. I know you often miss me, especially this time of year. But if you look through the windows of heaven, one glimpse would dry every tear. If you could see what I see, if you could hear what I hear, my eyes saw of the King, my ears heard the angels sing. On earth you could never imagine what Christmas is like in heaven. It's beyond your farthest dream. You tie your gifts with gold ribbon. I'm walking upon golden streets. As you light your Christmas candle, the Lamb is the light here for me. I've talked with Mary and Joseph. They have many memories to share. All the shepherds and the wise men have stories of their own to tell. If you could see what I see, if you could hear what I hear,
and we will see what
is like in heaven. It's beyond your farthest dream. But one day you will see what I see.
Boy, what a joy it is to serve the Lord any time of the day, but especially during this special season as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. You know, we have with joy, and we had, of course, many of you have family over. Some went to see family. You'll communicate by social media, but it's a joy to have some of our family with us this year. And the gifts, we had a little bit of our Christmas yesterday because we had a crew come in that's going back out to be home with their family Christmas Day. And then so we'll have another Christmas here, I guess, on Monday. But it's been a joy to have some of our family with us. It's good to have Logan and Riley with us this morning. Got a couple other ones at home. Would you believe my knot-headed grandson spent 2 days in the pool last week? So he's sick. Serves him right. He's out there playing in the water. Said, "Papa, we were playing catch. I was on dry ground, and he was in the water. We were playing catch." He goes, "You know, Papa, my hands are starting to feel numb. You think I ought to get out?" And he got out. But so good to have family. If you're visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a long time, we're so glad you're here. And here we are in the Christmas season. Isn't it wonderful to know? The saying is, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And how often do we take for granted the greatest gift that God could ever give us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? There's so many things that we take advantage of. And this morning, I don't know how this message is going to turn out. You bear with me. I'm going to preach it as is written in the Bible, but I also want to give another slant of how it might be different if other choices were made. And so hopefully I'll be able to get that in a reasonable amount of time. But speaking of Christmas, I can't remember this boy's name. It was either Ed, Ken, or Daryl. But the name's not important. Some of y'all got that. The name is not important. But this little fella got up on Santa's lap in the mall, and he went through this long list of all the things he wanted. I mean, he wanted skates, and he wanted a cowboy outfit. And I guess today he would want a computer and an iPhone. But back in the day, we were just happy with a stick, a pocket knife, string, and a dog. Right, boys? Right, gentlemen? But he went through this long list of all these things he wanted. And finally, he breathed just for a second, and Santa stepped in and said, "Oh, well, let's just a minute now. I'm going to have to check my list, as I have one as well, to see how naughty and nice you have been this year." So the young lad looked at Santa and said, "Well, don't go through all the trouble. I'll just take the skates." You ever feel that way and wonder, have I really, really, if you think about it as a believer? I knew he was going to say something. I just wasn't sure what. But you know, as we look back through our life and we look at our present day life, isn't God so much better to us than we deserve? Of all the things that we ask, and even some of the things that He provides and often tells us no because He knows what's good for us and what we shouldn't have. Things that we don't ask for that He provides, and we realize how much we really needed that. As I mentioned, you have in your bulletin the outline. We talked about the shepherds. We talked about the angels. And this morning, we're going to talk about the innkeeper this morning. And I know it's a little bit of a negative thing. Here it is on Christmas Eve. But I felt this is the way the Lord, the way it fell in preparation. And also me wanting to put a little different slant on it this morning as well. But notice with me, and we'll key in on verse number 7 of our text. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." The hardened innkeeper delivered a message. As we look at the Word of God, he delivered a message of rejection. And we live in a world today that so many people are too busy with other things, or they don't want to believe what they might say fairy tales, and they're rejecting Christ. And see, dear friends, we're going to look at three things this morning. And the first of all, letter A, it was a sad message that the innkeeper delivered that morning. Can you imagine? There was no room in the inn. There was no room for Jesus. There is no evil intent mentioned here in our passage. And we can look at other accounts in the gospel. But however, how many people would actually turn away a pregnant woman today into the night? But yet we have so many people today that reject others. It makes no matter. They're so bitter. They're so angry. It doesn't matter the condition, who you are. They just reject any and all that come around, especially those who come to deliver a wonderful message of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friends, this reveals a hard heart within the innkeeper. Remember the cry of the crowd the day that Jesus was crucified? That was another group that had a hard heart. The Bible says in John 19:15, but they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Dear friends, we live in a world today that many people feel they have no king, no leadership. In fact, over the last couple of years, some people feel they have no mandate, no law over them whatsoever. They come and go and do what they please. But one day, that's all going to change. One day, things are going to be changed and turned around. One day, folks are going to be held accountable. And I am so glad that I was taught at a young age of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that I was taught and understood what it meant for the birth of Jesus and how he gave his life that I might have eternal life. Dear friends, let me ask this morning, do you have room for him in your life? If you're here today, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? If not, do you have room for baby Jesus? Do you have room for Christ in your life? Dear friend, lay aside whatever is in the way of letting Jesus in and open the door for him today. Do not let your life lead to a sad message of rejection. That's the sad message. On the counterpart, as I mentioned, it's a little bit different this morning. In fact, I didn't even send this to Ken to put on the PowerPoint. I just thought of it this morning. But I wonder how things would be different here in our story if it was told in a different way. I read recently of a story that told of a school or church that was having their own program and telling about the birth of Christ. And one young man who was quite quiet, really timid, didn't talk a whole lot, but he wanted to be involved in the play. And they thought to themselves, where are we going to put him? I'm sure his name was Daryl. Where are we going to put him? How are we going to fit him into the play? He'll never remember his lines. And finally, the youth pastor come up and said, you know, his heart is so wicked. He wants to be involved so bad he can't stand it. Why can't he be the innkeeper? All he has to say is there is no room. So they made the decision. They allowed him to participate. He came in. The rehearsal all went through for weeks at a time, and they came ready for the big night. And they asked him, are you ready, Daryl? Are you ready? There's no room in the end. There's no room in the end. They got ready to get their play, and the play went on, and things took place, and the shepherds and the angels part came in, and then they came to the end. And Mary and Joseph knocked on the door, and the innkeeper answered, and then he forgot his lines. It was quiet. There was a hush over the auditorium. Everything was real quiet, and then he realized, and someone whispered out, there's no room. There's no room. And with a sad face and tears running down his face, he said, there's no room. And Mary and Joseph turned around to go toward the manger. And the young boy looked up and said, wait, wait. You can go home with me. There's no room here, but you can go home with me. Boy, there wasn't a dry eye in the auditorium. Can you imagine the difference of a story today if it was something like that? God has a reason. I take his word as it is. And we don't know all the reasons of the innkeeper, but I wonder today how many Christians are pushing others away because there's no room left in them. There's no room for others. We don't need the attitude of my four no more if we're going to build God's kingdom, if we're going to build our church, if we're going to make a difference in our community. I wonder how many of us today can make such a big impact instead of delivering a sad message, but deliver a joyful message. Hey, there's room in my home. There's room in my car. There's room in my church. Hey, don't go away. Come. We'll take care of you. And to receive and bring them in. Dear friends, it's a sad message as the story is told, because the reality is we live in a world today that is and has rejected Jesus for many, many years. But it doesn't mean their minds can't be changed. It doesn't mean that things could happen to make a difference in their life by observing our testimony in our life. The hardened innkeeper delivered a message. It was a sad message. But us as believers, we can change that around and share a joyful, happy, rewarding message. Letter B, we see that it was a tragic message. A tragic message. See, know Jesus, N-O. No hope. But if you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know Jesus, no hope. We live in a world today that so many people, I like to encourage them, pray for them, beg God to work in their hearts that they might change their N-O to K-N-O-W, that they might know Christ. Dear friend, without Jesus, there is no hope. There is no future. There is no life. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saying to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, what a tragic message here in our story today of so many that are turning away Jesus. But no, we can change that tragic message as believers. We can change just not only the sad message to a happy message. We can change the tragic message into a securing message. Think about it for a moment. I know as well as I know my name. In fact, there are times I have to look on my phone because my birth certificate is not readily available. It was the 12th. It was 1963. Come on, how many ever forgot what year you're born? Had to count real quick to be sure. Or forgot what year you got married. You knew you got married, but you couldn't remember the year. Yeah, we all forget at times. But you know, I know that I'm saved. I know when it took place. I may get confused on the months at times, but I remember the room. I remember the place. I remember the individual who talked to me. I remember the day that I knelt, repented of my sins, and I trusted Christ. And that day for me is not a tragic day, but it is a securing day, a securing message, because I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. But yet, as our story says, of not only this sad message, but this tragic message that so many people either have rejected him or just don't know. It's hard to believe today in the technology that we live in. With pushing on 8 billion people living in our world, there are still many that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I'm not talking about the Middle East. I'm not just talking about Asia. But even right here in the good old USA, there are still people that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Oh, well, preacher, they got the computers, they got the television, they got the radio. Yeah, they do. And they just scan and move on to the next one. Come on. It's up to us to make the decision. It's up to us to decide. I'm going to do all I can to share Christ. That's why we have invitational cards. That's why we have tracts to share with our friends and to tell others and invite them to church. And what they do with that is up to them. But dear friends, I wonder sometime if we lived a life that was more joyful and less sad, that we lived a life that was more confident, securing, and less tragic, that folks just might want to know a little bit more about what we have. Come on now, amen. I love it when I go into a restaurant and I go in and I see young couples and families bow their head and ask God's blessings upon their food. I want people to see me. In fact, I don't do it all the time, but I mentioned before, often I'll ask our waitress or whoever if they have a request that we might pray for them while we pray over our food. I wonder how often we take advantage or how often we realize that people are watching us as we're sitting in the lobby, sitting at our table, after we finish our meal and observing or watching our life and recognizing what group we are. It thrills my soul when someone asks, oh, are y'all a church group? Boy, the door is wide open. Boy, that next question is, yes, where do you go to church? Do you need a church home? So, dear friends, we as believers, we can change this message here that applies today. The story is very real. It was a sad message concerning the innkeeper, but we don't have to live that way. It was a tragic message concerning the innkeeper because he rejected Christ, but we have not. And therefore, we should also make sure that we're telling others about the goodness of our Lord. And then letter C, it's not only a sad message, a tragic message, but also a rejecting message. A rejecting message. See, the innkeeper was warm and secure in his bed, but Jesus was in that old dirty, dusty manger. The innkeeper's rejection prevented him from knowing the joy of the shepherds that we read about a few weeks ago. It may have also kept him from knowing eternal life. See, to be without Jesus is to be without life and to be without heaven. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, he that have the Son hath life, and he that have not the Son of God hath not life. In other words, eternal damnation in the lake of fire, according to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. It's a rejecting message. And dear friends, we need to do all we can to make that rejecting message a receiving message. People that want to observe. See, so often we don't realize that our testimony, the way we live our life, the way we present ourselves, could either help people to receive the message or to continue rejecting the message. How often? I cannot tell you, but help me to help you understand. How many of you are the oldest sibling in your family? I am. Michelle is several others. And how many that may even be the younger family remember hearing mom and dad say, hey, to the oldest, hey, your younger siblings are watching you. You need to set a good example. Come on. In fact, when I was growing up, today's society, my mom and dad would be put in jail. Because when my brothers and sisters got in trouble, if I was around, I got in trouble too. And my trouble was the woodshed, and theirs was usually a scold. Because I was the oldest. I was responsible. I was to watch out for them. I was to encourage them. I was to set the example. And I wonder today, are we setting the example, or are we pushing people away, helping them to reject instead of receiving the message? See, we've received it. If you're today and you've trusted Christ and you know you're on your way to heaven, you've received that message. It's not a sad message for you. It's not a tragic message. It was a receiving message, and you know where you're going to spend eternity. But others do not. But how many are watching and observing our life that might make a difference? Might make a difference. I think it very well can. People are influenced by those that are around them. People tend to watch and notice what other people are doing, especially when they're having fun and enjoying themselves. I don't understand the world. I do not understand the world. I have yet to go to a Christmas party with my church family. I have yet to go to a fellowship. I have yet to go to a service that ended a little bit late and wake up the next morning with a horrible headache bending over on the toilet. Never. It was just as fun the next day as it was the night before, remembering the memories of it. But yet we live in such a way. The world needs to know and understand and realize how much joy it is. Hey, let me ask you this. Is it not joy to serve the Lord? Is it not exciting to know where you're going to spend eternity? Is it not exciting to know as we celebrate the birth of Jesus? And we need to live a life in such a way through the whole year that people recognize and wonder what's going on. Several years ago, oh my goodness, how long ago was it? 1989, 1988. Michelle and I were in Germany serving in the U.S. military. Had revival that week. We had a wonderful time. God was working the hearts of our young military church. Michelle and I were young, and at that time, it was just our oldest, Rebecca, correct? And then we had another family in our church who was about our age, and they had a little one at the same age as our daughter. And so those two couples, after revival, we were so happy. We were getting excited about what God is doing. We both had surrendered to the ministry, talking about Bible colleges, talking about what we're going to do and serve the Lord. We'd spent a lot of time together. And then on our way out after the revival meeting, we drove all the way across town, stayed up a little later than we should have, because there was only one Burger King in the area, and it was on base on the other side of town from our church. So we made the trip all the way out to Burger King to grab some food. We went to the drive-thru because we'll go back to our house on base housing to have some time together. We went through the drive-thru. We were singing. We were carrying over from the revival. We were singing, having a good time. And I guess I got a little bit happy in my singing as well that I didn't always stay between the lines. You know what's coming already. And one of the MPs on base pulled me over. And he come to the window, and my buddy starts snickering. He said, well, what are you going to say? So I'm just going to tell the truth. We're in here praising God. I got a little carried away. I was wrong, but we're just happy in Jesus, not in anything else. He came to the car, asked me for my documents, gave him my ID card, my little proof of use or driver's license, insurance, rolled down my window, and he asked me, sir, have you been drinking? I said, no, sir, but I have to admit, I am a little tipsy on Jesus. He's kind of looked at me. So what do you mean? So we just got back from a revival meeting. We've had revival all week, had such a wonderful meeting. Some decisions have been made. Some people got saved. We're just excited heading over to Burger King. And by the way, back then, during this case, Burger King was a big deal. I mean, it was it. And he understood. He said, look, would you mind stepping out of the car? I said, no, not at all. I got out of the car. We talked a little bit. I guess he wanted to be sure that I hadn't, that maybe they weren't, maybe they were, well, I better not say that. Anyway, ask me after the service. I'll tell you what I was going to say. So I got to pay attention in case I change my mind. But we talked a few minutes, had a chance to witness to him, and told him what we're so happy about. Dear friends, what if our life lived that way through the week, that we were so happy in Jesus, that we were so happy about the God's blessings, we were so joyful in what was going on, that people asked, why are you so happy? Right now, our economy and our world may be turned upside down. Does it aggravate me? Yeah. Is it frustrating? Yeah. But I'm still happy in Jesus. I'm trusting in him. I don't trust in, I'm not trusting in the stock market for my future. I'm trusting in Christ. There's many things I'd like to see secure for my retirement if the Lord tarries, but I'm trusting in him alone. And I wonder what a difference we can make in our life and help other people that if we didn't live a tragic Christian life, but instead we lived a life of joy, a life of excitement, a life of praise, a life of encouragement. One of the we've learned here since we've been here in Arizona, it's this way in a lot of the churches that we've been a part of, but even now in this time of our life, I don't come to church saying, man, I got to go to church. I'm more disappointed leaving than I am coming, by far. I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy being around God's people. I enjoy when we get over to the fellowship hall. I enjoy the men's coffee. I enjoy the activities, things that we do because I'm around God's people. I enjoy having people in my home. I enjoy being in their home because we're around God's people, a commonality that we celebrate and we know in the Lord Jesus. It's not tragic for me. It's exciting. It's refreshing. And I wonder how much more it would be for the world if maybe some of us begin to act a little bit like some of these fanatical football fans. I mean, you even got people so fanatical that wear Green Bay stuff to church. But I wonder if we got that happy about things, if we got that happy about things in life in general. Hey, everybody knows I'm a Tennessee Volunteer fan. And the desert's growing on me. I'm going to have to start choosing which Arizona school I'm going to root for come baseball season here coming up. But I enjoy sports. I enjoy getting out and about. But I wonder if our excitement about a ball game, our excitement about a kid's play, our excitement about a kid's ball game, our excitement about you fill it in, would carry over just as much in our daily walk and our daily life, our excited about living for the Lord, our excitement about being a Christian, our excitement about our church. I know that Harvest Baptist Church isn't for everybody. I know that. But they'll realize they were wrong when they get to heaven, amen? But I do realize that we need to be able to minister to the people where they are as we meet them and as we come in. And we cannot do that if we have a sad message, a tragic message, and a rejecting message. We're not to be like the innkeepers. We're to be more like the shepherds and the angels. Here as we prepare to bring this in this morning, the Lord tells us again that he hath the Son have life, and he that have not the Son have not life. Dear friends, we have that life. Therefore, we should let that life live in us and flow out of us. As we think about the Christmas message, we need to be sure that we are receiving the message of the angels like the shepherds did, that we too might know Jesus and go away praising him and glorifying his name. So let me ask this morning as we pull this together, what kind of message is your life preaching today? Like the angels, are you living a life that points to men, other men to Jesus, like we talked about 2 weeks ago? Or like last week, are you like the shepherds who filled his wonder and glory that life is fresh every day because of Jesus? Or would you have to admit that like the innkeeper, you simply have no room for Jesus in your life? Which describes you best? If you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, you're not confident where you'll spend eternity, maybe you find yourself like the innkeeper who has been rejecting Christ. Why not come and trust him today? As a believer, maybe that aspect of the praising God as the angels and the shepherds did is not where it used to be. You're not quite excited about serving the Lord and living for the Lord like you used to. I'm not the innkeeper because I'm not rejecting Christ, but I maybe have rejected sharing his message and living for him the way I should. I know that I'm saved and I know I'm on the way to heaven, but in a sense, I've kind of rejected the idea of being a fanatic. I know I'm saved and I know I'm on my way to heaven, but I've kind of rejected the idea of being a little vocal or telling somebody else. After all, I'm in the secret service. Shh, don't tell anybody I'm a Christian. That's for socialism. That's for communism, not for the freedom that we have in America. And the freedom that we have in our country, we still need to make sure we're taking full advantage that we might tell others about Christ. Dear friends, don't go to a restaurant and bow your head like you've got a headache and say, Lord, bless this food. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt to lift your voice a little bit that maybe the next table, the waitress just might hear you. It wouldn't hurt to lift your voice enough that maybe someone passing by might hear you use the name of the Lord in a positive way. What describes us best in our walk and our relationship, Christians? Are we more receiving and sharing? Or are we just happy with receiving and we've kind of rejected the idea of expanding the tent? We've kind of rejected the idea of bringing other people in. We've kind of rejected the idea of getting out of our comfort zone. Each of us have our own comfort zone. Some of you don't know me very well, but believe it or not, this is hard for me to do. The Lord has helped me through the years of coming over there. I'm still scared to death to stand up here and preach, but God has helped me. And he'll help you in the same way. I remember the first time I ever led anyone to Christ, the very first time. No cell phones. I had to wait till we get home to pick up the phone to call my pastor. I said, guess what? And he stole my thunder. You led Matt to the Lord there in the parking lot, didn't you? Because we lingered after a youth service that my friend came to church with me on, and I was able to lead him to the Lord after everyone had already left the church. Dear friends, we need to make a decision. Are we going to be ones who receive the message of Jesus, but then reject sharing? Are you here today and you've rejected the message of Jesus and you need to receive him? Whatever the case may be, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you, saying, Lord, help me to be everything you would have me to be. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. No one look around this morning. Our pianist is making her way to the piano. She'll begin playing as soon as she's ready. No one's looking around, just me, just me. Just me and the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to take a lot of time, the invitation this morning. Just want to simply ask a few questions. Maybe here today and no one's looking but me. I will not come to you. I will not send anybody to you. But maybe you lift your hand up and down and simply say, Preacher, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know that I know that I'm saved. I'm not confident that I would spend eternity in heaven, but I sure would like to know. Anybody like it would just slip your hand up and down, and I'll recognize that hand. I will not call you by name. I will not come to you, but I will pray for you. Anyone like that this morning? And I'll rejoice this morning that either everyone is saved here this morning, or maybe you're a little bashful. I'm available to talk to you. My wife is. Others are. Now I'll talk to Christians, and I don't need to ask specific questions. I'm simply going to ask, Dear Christian, would you pray for me as I pray for you? Maybe you would join me in a raising of hands and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be a little more outgoing. I need to be a little more in that area of telling others and making sure that I'm not rejecting others who need to hear the gospel. Hands up, many hands. Many others may need to go up. Say, Lord, help me to have that message. Lord, I don't want to come across as having a sad message. I don't want to be one that has that tragic or rejected message, but one that is giving out to anyone and everyone that I meet. Father, you saw the hands. You know the needs that are represented this morning. Would you bless these few moments of invitation? May Christians come and pray or pray where they stand. May those who may not have confidence and surety of their future, may they respond that we may share Christ with them. Father, have your way, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed just for a moment. Our pianist is playing. If God has spoken to your heart, where you stand or here at an altar, would you respond and do what God would have you to do? Do business with the Lord this morning, my friend. Do exactly what he'd have you to do.